Hello, I'm the car salesman that's going to tell you what you want to hear when you want to hear it. Over here, you can have a car and we'll detail it and give you lifetime car washes. And you can have an oil change for life. And we'll make your bed in the morning, something like that. Well, we will do something to get you in this car today. Or maybe you didn't like that. That wasn't very good. Okay, got it. Hello. I'm like you. One day I was losing my hair, and then I realized I could regrow all my hair. And you can see the beautiful results of the hair growth product. For only $14.99 per day, you can have hair like mine. Okay, that maybe I'm not the best spokesman for that. But we all have these commercials, these ads that come to us each and every day. And every one of them promises something different. Every one of them promises that your life is going to be better, that your marriage is going to be better, your kids are going to be better, your hair is going to be better, the drive is going to be better and more tolerable. Whatever it is, the promise is out there. I want us to revisit over the next few weeks a few promises that I think are important for us to remember during this crisis that we seem to be faced with this morning. What I'd like for you to do is turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to begin today's service by looking at those few verses and seeing what God has in store for us. All right. Well, let's turn in our Bibles, like I said, to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at just a couple of verses this morning. One of the things I want you to know this morning, if you're taking any notes, is that you can write down, God is always in control. There'll never be a day when you wake up and God is not seated on the throne. There'll never be a time in your life when you'll try to call on God and He will not be there to answer. There will not be a time ever when God is on vacation, when God is asleep, when God has put the phone off the ringer. Instead, God is always on call. He's always there to act for us. He's always in control of the things that happen in the universe that He created. He didn't just spin the world and the cosmos into being and then watch them progress. God has declared in His Word that He is intimately involved in the creation He made. For each individual person listening to me today, God cares for you, He cares for you, and He cares for you. He knows every hair that is on your head. He knows every need you and your family has. He knows every desire of your heart. He is not far and removed, but He is close. He is as close as a whispered prayer away. Our God sees. Our God hears. Our God is ever present in our time of trouble. God is always in control. And in order to really fully grasp that truth, I want us to look at two verses in the book of Proverbs, and then we'll kind of pick out some other passages to look at along the way. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." We're going to look at that one truth, that one promise that's found in the verse, the last part. But first, we're going to look at the first truth that we come to. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's step one. If we're going to get to the point where God directs our paths, shows us where to go, He's our ever-present help in our time of trouble, when God helps to give us that soothing peace during a crisis like we're going through right now, if we're going to get to that place, first we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And that may be hard for some of us this morning. Maybe you've had some past hurts, some past promises made by others who maybe were well-intentioned, or maybe they were out to no good. They have self-serving purposes. But they made a promise to you, you believed it, and they actually turned out to be a liar. They didn't keep their promise. They didn't intend maybe to hurt you, or maybe they did, but regardless of their intention, the hurt is real. And every hurt we have like that, we move on to the next time we hear a promise. And at some point we get desensitized to the promises that are being made. Drive this car, have this hair, eat this food, sure I'll be there, I'll be there every Friday to pick the kids up, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. We make the promises, and regardless of the intention, when those promises are not kept, we put that on the next person, and then it gives us that sense of uncertainty. It gives us that sense of skepticism where we hear the promise and then we're like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. We hear, but we don't really believe. Don't apply that same kind of skepticism to the things and the promises of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't trust in the things of this world. Don't trust in things of finance. Don't trust in the things you can do with your own abilities, your own mind, your own hands, your own feet. I'm going to make my own way. Don't trust in things of others. Don't trust in the things of this world and this life. They will fail. But there is one person in the universe that if I were to put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone, He will always keep His promise. That's the Lord God Almighty. But you see, when we put our trust some in the basket of God's in control, but I really got to help God out, so I'm going to really also put some trust in finances. I'll put some trust in the stock market. By the way, how's that helping? I'm going to put my trust over here in this other basket and kind of spread out things on the table so that if it doesn't turn out that God's going to keep everything He said He's going to do, or it's not going to work out the way I want it to do, then I've got some other irons in the fire that we can have a backup plan. Well, God doesn't want to be your backup plan. He wants to be the first thing that you turn to, the first person that you turn to each and every day, putting your trust in Him and Him alone. So what happens when you spread out things, when you don't put your full trust with all of your heart in the Lord? Well, first, fear starts to set in. Fear starts to set in. I'm reminded about these two guys who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking on the road, they're talking about Jesus and they're talking about the events that have just happened. And they're curious and wondering about this Jesus fellow and all of the veracity of the truth and putting their faith in Him and Him alone. And all of a sudden, as they're walking down in Luke chapter 24, we find these verses 36 through 38. Now, as they said these things, wondering among themselves about who Jesus was and the claims that were made, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and they were frightened, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" What Jesus was basically saying to them was simple. He was telling them, don't fear, don't allow doubts to rise up in your spirit. Don't let them take root in your heart. Because as soon as you allow doubt to enter into your life, when it's like, God gave me this to trust in, but I don't really know for sure if He's going to be able to do it. When you allow that doubt and uncertainty in your life, fear starts to sprout and grow. Fear. God doesn't want you to live a life of fear. God wants you to live a life of power, of assurance, of knowing who He is and who you are in light of what He has done for you. So don't make any mistake about it. God doesn't want you to live in doubt and fear. He wants you to live in light of His promises. Another consequence to not giving God all of your trust is that your life is going to be a life of ups and downs. I remember hearing the story many years ago of a guy named John Jacob Astor, who was very wealthy. And as the story goes, he had a large merchant ship that ran aground, sank, lost in today's currency probably millions and millions of dollars. And that night, after hearing the news, he was seen at the theater, and he was laughing and had a grand old time there in his box. At intermission, a friend came up to him and said, Mr. Astor, I don't understand how in the world you could be here today enjoying yourself in a theater when you've just lost millions of dollars out at sea. And John Jacob Astor said something that has stuck with me over the years, and that is, what would you have me to do? Weep and worry about something I cannot change? And boy, that over the last probably 15, 18 years since I heard the story, though that phrase has stuck with me. I look at the problem in front of me and I think, can I do anything about it? Is there any power or any strength that I can conjure up within myself that is going to change what's already happened? And if I can't change what's already happened, then what point is there to weep and worry about the past when I'm powerless to do anything about it? That whole mindset has helped to shape me from going with life's ups and downs to a calm peace about knowing that whatever circumstance I am in, like the Apostle Paul said, whether hungry or well-fed, whether everything is going great or whether things are going poor, whatever situation, to have a calm assurance that no matter what I go through, that I have God, I have Christ, I have peace, I have assurance, I have a sense that God has not left me and He's not forsaken me, and any moment of difficulty or any storm that might howl around me, that I can still have an inner peace knowing that God is in control. Not trusting in the Lord will lead to a life of ups and downs. James, when he wrote his book, in the very first chapter, he talks about a double-minded man is like this person who's being tossed by the sea. And the illustration is something like taking a cup and throwing it into the ocean and just watching it bob up and down. That cup is no match to the wave's forces. It literally goes wherever the wave tells it to go. And if you have not trusted in the Lord God Almighty, if you've not put your full trust in Him, your life is like a life of that cup out in the ocean being tossed wherever the fear, wherever the doubt, wherever the trouble, wherever life seems to toss you. No stability, no grounding, no ability to withstand the storm and keep on standing, but instead you're just tossed to and fro. Trust in the Lord and you'll find that stability. Living by faith is a life characterized in the Christian life as one that rests on the promises of God. Living by faith is not a blind faith. Living by faith says, I believe every promise that God has declared to me. I will put my life on the line when it comes to God's promises and His truth. And when God promised it, that's it. Settled. Done. Forever. I put my faith and trust in what God has said. I hold firmly to the promises that God has set forth, and I hold firmly to them not on my own strength or my own ability or my own ability to even keep the promise. I rely on Christ at work in me to have the sense of peace and strength that I need in times of doubt and uncertainty. Let me just say this as well. The reason we live a life of ups and downs and a life of uncertainty usually is because we've gotten our eyes off of Jesus and we've put our eyes and our focus on our problem. Think about with me for just a moment the story in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus is walking on water and Peter steps out and begins to walk on water as well. We know that in the story, Peter is just fine. He's walking on water. He's, not getting wet. And as soon as he lets his eyes off of Jesus, this is what the scripture says. Verse 29 of Matthew chapter 14. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he became afraid. Now, he had just seen Jesus walk on the water. Peter knew that Jesus could cause storms to cease. Peter knew Jesus could heal the lame and the blind and the deaf. That Jesus was different. He was a miracle worker. He was literally seeing Jesus walk on water, and Jesus calls for him to come. And do you think for 1 minute that Jesus called Peter out to come out into the middle of the water by faith to walk on water so that he would drown Peter? No. This was, again, a measure of showing the greatness of who Jesus was and the kind of faith that God requires from the people of God. And notice in verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. He got his eyes off of Jesus and he got his eye onto the storm and he began to sink. Friend, let me just remind you, if your full measure of trust is not in the Lord and the storm comes up, then the storm is going to get your attention. If you want to weather the storm of this crisis or weather the storm of the next crisis, put your eyes on Jesus. Trust in Him alone. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. But it starts with trusting the Lord with all of your heart. I tell you that when we doubt, we're not trusting in the Lord at all. If turmoil is what is characterizing your life, if fear is what is at the center of your life, let me tell you, there is hope. You don't have to live in turmoil or fear or doubt. You can rest in the assurance of God when you first trust in Him. Next, the scripture says, lean not in your own understanding. Don't lean in your own understanding. The more you grow in your faith and trust in the Lord, the more you're going to learn that the plans that I come up with pale in comparison to the grand plans that God has for me. That His plans, His blueprints, the way He orchestrates things and puts things into place is far superior than anything I could ever do. So when we come to this, lean not in your own understanding. Lean on the understanding of the Lord. Lean on the promises of God. Trust in the Lord even when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to be honest with you. That one is tough. Rationally, sitting down and looking at paper and saying 1 + 1 = 2. It's rational. It's understandable. I can get it. And if God says 1 + 1 = 3, I don't see how the math adds up. Well, part of the problem is I don't have God's perspective. I'm leaning in my own understanding. I'm seeing things through earthly eyes. I'm seeing things through my experiences and from the experiences of others. But when we're dealing with the God of the universe, there is nothing outside of the power and control and ability of the great God that we serve. I can't lean on my own understanding because when I sit down, things don't make sense. But when I lean on His understanding and trust His plan for my life, then things begin to fall in place in ways and circumstances we never even thought or imagined. Lean not in your own understanding. Let me give you a little Bible story just to help with that. The Israelites were in Egypt. Pharaoh had told them they could not leave, they couldn't go until the 10th plague. And then when the death angel came, Pharaoh relented. The Israelites go and they go into the wilderness, and now their backs are up against the Red Sea, and before them is the hoof sounds of Pharaoh's chariots and army, and he's coming to kill the Israelites. They have nowhere to go. And in fear and doubt, they begin to wonder, has God brought us out here to die? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt that we had to be buried in the desert sand? And when all things seemed to be impossible, when they had exhausted every earthly thought of rescue, it was God who parts the Red Sea and the Israelites walk across the Red Sea on dry land, and they are rescued from the terrible fate of death by Pharaoh's army. And in fact, Pharaoh's army is the one that met their fate in the raging waters of the Red Sea that day. So let me just ask you, just from that one experience, is that not a story of leaning on God's understanding rather than your own? Is that not a beautiful reminder that when all hope seems to be lost, when every earthly thing is exhausted, when everything doesn't make sense on paper, that my God is a way maker? That my God makes ways when it seems to be impossible. That my God is able to do things that, humanly speaking, are not allowed, are not going to happen, that break the natural way things happen, because my God is a supernatural God. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to lean in the understanding and the wisdom of God. Oh, there's a few more things I could say there, but let's move on. Next in our scripture, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In our difficulty, in our circumstances, in our trouble, in life's ups and downs and all arounds, it can be easy that when we talk to others and when we think about it ourselves, to simply focus on the negative. We talk about our test results, we talk about the treatment, we talk about the trial, we talk about the trouble, we explain the circumstances, but in our difficulty, we also have to acknowledge how God is working. And we also have to acknowledge our faith, that though things may seem so uncertain for us, our faith is that it is not uncertain for God. God knows it. He sees it. God will see us through. And we have to acknowledge that in the middle of difficulty, we have to acknowledge who God is. We have to declare to those who are watching the situation unfold in our life that though this disease take me, it does not mean that God had an inability to heal. It means that in this circumstance, the plan of God was that I endure this sickness. That God has numbered my days and I'm okay the day He calls me home. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And though it may seem like a loss here in this world, it is a gain for me for all of eternity. What a testimony we can have to those who are watching in the world that in the middle of difficulty, we're still acknowledging that God is seated on the throne, that He hasn't been caught off guard, that He wasn't asleep at the wheel, that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that we go through. And even in this, I will acknowledge that He is God, and I will wait on Him to accomplish great things. Now, there are some areas in our life when it's difficult to do that. I recognize that. But let me just say in practical ways, I could put my finger on different areas where maybe you're not acknowledging God in the difficulty. But only you can really write that down for your own personal situation. In what area of your life have you not been acknowledging God and His presence, God and His understanding, trusting in God, acknowledging Him? You've been going about it your own way, doing your own thing. Are you acknowledging God in your situation? Are you looking at your situation saying, you know what, God is in control. He's always in control. God's sovereign. He sits on the throne of this universe. And you know what? He's in charge. And because He's in charge, I'm going to trust. Practically, what do you need to acknowledge and say, you know what, God, You've got this. I've done it my way for a long, long time. But now I'm giving You these things, trusting You for them. And then notice the last part of the verse, the promise. And He shall direct your paths. Now this is a conditional phrase. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, when we lean not in our own understanding, when we in all of our ways acknowledge Him, then He will direct our paths. You know, sometimes I think about this phrase and superimpose it on the life of the believer. Can I just tell you that there have been moments and times in my life where I've been standing on the stepping stone and I don't see where the next step is? But yet you feel God calling you to step out in faith. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you get along with God. And you say, God, show me Your path. I'm willing to step, but just show me. Give me an assurance about it. And then I'll step out in faith. Oh, how I've been convicted at times for that. Knowing that God said step, and I've been reluctant because I'm waiting for God to tell me His plan. God doesn't owe me. God doesn't have to tell me His plan or His purpose. In fact, there's a prophet named Habakkuk. And Habakkuk wanted to get along with God, and he locks himself in a room and he says, God, I'm not leaving until you come down and talk to me. And you're going to tell me today why you're doing the things you're doing. I'll wait. Now, for some reason, in my mind, I think if I ever did that, you'd find me, it'd be like the pirates, you know, going to find the lost treasure, and you find the other pirates who had come on before them, and it's just a bunch of bones sitting there with their sword, you know, leaning against a rock. That's the way I would be. But in God's ability and God's timing, for God's purpose, He comes down to Habakkuk and He says, Habakkuk, listen. I know you're looking out into the world and you're seeing a lot of injustices. I know that you're seeing this world where it seems like the bad guys are winning. Where the widows and those who are most vulnerable, they're getting the short end of the stick. That other people are taking advantage of them. I know you're looking out into the world and you're asking, as you see murder and rape and all the rest, and you're asking, where's God? And somehow you think, I don't care, or I don't know, or maybe I don't have the ability to deal with it. Whatever it is, Habakkuk, you want to fill in the blank with, just know this. I am God. I am the Almighty God of the universe. And if I tried to explain to you everything that I have planned, you could not fathom it. You couldn't understand it. So I'm not going to reveal this truth to you. I'm not going to reveal this plan to you in its certainty, but I want you to know I'm raising up an army and I'm at work. And in times of uncertainty, can I tell you, going back and listening to the words of God to Habakkuk or to Job, Isaiah or Jeremiah, though they are meant to be stinging rebukes of faithlessness, to my ears and to my heart, they have been calm assurance. Assurances that I serve a God who is personal, who is concerned, who is loving, who has a plan, who has a purpose. A God that even in the middle of world upheaval and when the world seems to be upside down, that the God is the steady rock, that if man will turn to God, whatever falls in the place, whatever crisis seems to come, that trusting and clinging to God, we'll get through this one way or another, because He'll direct our paths. It may not always be clear. It may not always be easy. It might mean giving up some things we hold dear to us. But when God calls, we must listen. When God directs, we must step out and walk by faith, not by sight. What a precious promise from God. And oh, what a joy it is to say, God does not lie. God does not forget. He does not stretch the truth. That when God has made a promise, it is an eternal promise. My friend, if you will trust and lean and acknowledge the Lord, He will direct your paths, even during crisis. How many of you need an anchor for your soul this morning? How many are in the middle of a storm, whether financial or health or otherwise? When the winds are blowing and the waves are crashing, when they seem to be so large they're going to overtake you, will you turn to the Lord? Will you find the peace that God offers to you even now? The promise of all promises, that He will not leave you nor forsake you. Will you find that which anchors the soul? Will you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Giving up all things, forsaking all things, and giving them all to Christ. Maybe this morning you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord. Maybe you've been holding on to some things. Maybe life's been difficult and challenging and you've been unsure. Let me give you the hope. Though you and I are sinners, the glorious truth is that God made us a promise. That if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Jesus Christ is the one, only begotten Son of God. The God looking at our sin state sent His Son to the earth. And Jesus lived a sinless life. He died on a cross to pay the penalty for sin for all those who put their faith and trust in Him. And then in believing in Christ, He would give us a new life. A life not marked by old past patterns of sin and selfishness, but a life marked by growing in our faith and growing to be more like Jesus day by day. And friend, if you've never put your trust in the Lord, let me tell you, you can do that today. Today can be your day of salvation. Today can be the day when you stop getting tossed by the trials and trouble of this world and you finally find the anchor your soul's been looking for. Jesus Christ is waiting. You say, how can I talk to Him? How can I get it? Just pray. Pray and ask the Lord to do a work that you can't do, to save your soul, to rescue you from the things of this life and the things of the life to come. And my God is faithful to keep His promise that if you believe on Him, you'll be saved. What a glorious promise.